A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Sit down next to me, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. Luke Moore is here.
All right.
And Jim Campbell!
Hey, James, in this case.
I would bloody love a sing song, but I've got a sore throat. I'd love a James sing song.
Would you?
Yeah.
We'll do it another time.
There's loads of time.
I'd love a bit of that Fred Astaire song. I like that one.
Which one?
When I hold her in my arms, I feel like Fred Astaire.
Careful.
I knew you could
That's you quiet for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's true.
Knew you could get a little tune out of him, ladies and gentlemen. You just got to tickle him the right way.
All the managers think they can get a tune out of me. Absolutely. I'm just a problem player. That's
the Luke box.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What a win last night for Roma.
It was.
Interesting way of phrasing it.
Liverpool are there!
Aren't they just?
Just about. Well, you can spin it a few ways, can't you? Yeah. But it didn't look in doubt that much. But yes, the scoreline. I'm sure if you hadn't watched the game and you looked at the result without seeing which minute the goals were scored, and you might have thought, oh, bloody hellfire, they ran that close. Mm. But it didn't tell the full story, of course, Jim.
Of course not. But James Milner collapsing at the end with just sort of like relief was a really telling moment, wasn't it?
He did his best to scupper it,
didn't he? I love, though, that, you know, Milner can't really do anything about that own goal. But it's just the sort of bad luck vortex that swirls around Dejan Lovren at any one time and has led to that happening.
It was instantly one of my favourite comedy own goals ever.
I agree.
I assume that Kevin Keegan was in the stands because that happened.
Yeah, it must have been in the Keegan matrix, in the Keegan postcode. Obviously, joking aside, Milner's been absolutely fantastic this season. I mean, Liverpool... They certainly weren't the better team on the night. I mean, they looked like they were stuck between two stools, really. Didn't really know what to do. I mean, and one of the things we've criticised Liverpool for this season is their game management or lack of it. And they seem to only play one sort of way. And I think they got caught between not really knowing whether to just go and do what they did in the first leg or try and sort of contain and manage. And they end up, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but they ended up with Mo Salah almost like as a target man up front for a lot of the game, which I thought was very strange. One, because obviously that's not his game. And two, Firmino can do that much better. So why don't you just get Salah to play a lot deeper and have Firmino do it? Because Firmino makes the ball stick over and over again anyway.
Well, I think because Kolarov was going to advance always, there would be a little bit of room.
But Salah wasn't tracking him anyway.
No, I know. I think that's the point. Leave him up there. Because
Them something to think about.
Yeah, exactly. But
he's not really an outball, is he, for them? Because he can't hold onto the ball in that way.
Sure, but he's got a bit.
I don't know.
He could be an outball. Depends what type of ball you're playing.
I agree. Firmino's better at that. But
it was either based on what we saw then. It was either the fact that the balls up to him were so poor consistently over and over again.
I think that's what it probably was.
Or because he had a very, very quiet night.
He was caught offside a few times, which I think was probably Roma getting their game as right as they got it wrong in the first leg in terms of dealing with him.
I thought, but you talk about the game management, and you're right. Against Manchester City in that first leg, they got it absolutely spot on, and that was really what won them the tie. Whereas this, I just felt that, Liverpool, they weathered some early pressure. Then they go 1-0 up, which takes a lot of that pressure off. Then, of course, you have the comedy own goal. Then they go 2-1 ahead, and you think, all right. And it's a difficult one with the players. They're sort of beginning to kind of think, all right, no booking, no silly bookings now if anyone was on a booking or anything like that. No injuries. That will come in potentially to your mind. I thought Klopp, what he should have done at half-time was just, right, we'll contain them. you know, bring Salah back, bring him back to help out maybe Alexander-Arnold, who had a troubled evening.
Yeah.
And play a little bit more. I know Roma aren't the attacking threat that Man City are, but I thought you should have done that. And actually, had they have done that, I think they wouldn't have conceded, because they did need a little bit of luck. I mean, they always, I think that was the thing. There was always this air of, we'll be okay. But that nearly went against them. I mean, I know there was some contentious decisions in
the
either.
The refereeing was very, very odd.
Yeah, there was contentious decisions in both penalty areas.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to hone in on one and say, oh, well, if it wasn't for that, because then you could say that the Mane won much earlier on in the game, of course. Roma quite fortunate to get a penalty, you could argue. The one that they put away right at the end.
Yeah, although Trent Alexander-Arnold himself was lucky in not giving one away earlier.
Which is the one I'm going to hone in on. Because if that's a penalty, it's a sending off and a penalty, and they would have gone 3-2 ahead, you know. But, of course, that didn't happen. You know, they have been slightly fortunate against Manchester City. They could have been 2-0 down at half-time. It didn't happen. They're in the final. Look at Real Madrid. You know, Real Madrid, we can start saying, well, if it wasn't for this and it wasn't for this, they're both there. And that is it. You know, when you get these opportunities, you have to take them. And every side who has won a cup competition, barring maybe just one or two teams, you know, even Pep Guardiola's side, who won their first Champions League, the Barcelona side, of course, got a bit of luck against Chelsea in that semi-final. Yeah. We don't remember that.
I do remember that.
Yeah, okay. Actually, I'm sure that one was a bad example. There's a hell of a lot of Chelsea fans who remember that.
I can't even remember the name of the referee.
Yeah, fair play.
Tom Henning of Rabo.
He's in hiding perhaps still. I don't know. Hopefully
But the decision I thought was the key one, interestingly, the one just at odds to your one, Mark, is the where Karius brings down Dzeko. Dzeko wasn't offside. And Karius would have given a penalty away there. I know under the new rules he wouldn't have been sent off, but I mean that would have given a lot of impetus to Roma, even more than they had anyway. And also Karius didn't have a great night, so that would have made it even worse. I think it shook him up anyway, even though he got away with it. That could have been a real... the game could have rested on that a bit as well.
Did you see Jordan Henderson in the celebrations immediately after the final whistle? He went right over to Karius, who's in the crowd celebrating, to just give him a telling off about coming out for the cross.
Was that what it was, though?
I believe so. I mean, it could be any number of things, but that's what...
I saw him talking to him. I couldn't work out whether he was actually telling him off or not. I saw him talking to him in quite a serious way.
Yeah, body language looked like it was a testicling.
I think...
time and a place for that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would say
I'm not sure how I feel about it. I love the leadership, but at the same time, come on,
do it on Monday morning.
Yeah, that's what I would say, certainly. But you know, Liverpool are in the final of the Champions League. What an achievement! But actually, and this kind of is testament to how we've just talked about it. For the neutral, perhaps, I know Liverpool fans will not care. You know, Van Dijk said at the end of the game, didn't he, when he was being interviewed, that you got a little lucky or there was a couple of decisions or whatever, and just went, don't care. Nor should he care, I suppose, in one sense of that. And we're not trying to dampen it at all, because I bloody love to see Liverpool, and I would dearly love them to win the competition.
Yeah, same.
But perhaps... I don't want to sound like a spoilsport, but maybe just a touch of the shine is taken away. I think because... the way we saw Real Madrid play against Bayern on the Tuesday night, and actually people were saying, do you know what? Perhaps Liverpool are better off playing Real Madrid. And you didn't want to tempt fate, but already thinking Liverpool are there. And when Liverpool make a lot of errors like they did, and a little bit fortunate, you know, is it Ünder, the young Turkish lad, had a chance to make it 3-2 and didn't take it and so on. You wanted Liverpool to just stroll over the line, really.
But having
been 5-0 up at one point in the tie.
That's right. I mean, that's a key point as well. But I do think that a lot of this depends on the situation and the circumstances. The atmosphere in Rome looked unbelievable, and it was a big, big event. It's massive for Roma, of course, for obvious reasons. And we talk about Liverpool's game management, but you also have to talk about how they approach the final. Because they need to approach the final the same way they've been approaching first legs in the knockout phase of this competition. The one-leg format which they'll have in the final actually suits Liverpool. But it only suits them if they cast all those doubts and all that nervous energy and all that sort of sense of occasion to one side and play how they did against Porto or Manchester City or in the first leg against Roma. Across two legs, I feel Liverpool there's an opportunity for Liverpool to be got at.
I know what you mean.
In one leg, you could easily... Real Madrid are a good team, but they're not without their faults. You can see... I'm not saying this will definitely happen, but you can see Liverpool going 3-0 up in half an hour against Real Madrid, and Real Madrid not knowing what hits them, and then there won't be a second leg for them to come back.
And then Liverpool to come back 3-3 and win it on penalties.
Yeah. But the thing is, they have to play the game and not the occasion, though. And Real Madrid, the reason you wonder whether they can do that and do that to the level they need to do it is because Real Madrid have got such experience of playing in Champions League finals when compared to those Liverpool players.
Yeah. And sure. They're ruthless as well, aren't they, in those situations?
They know how to win.
This is their competition. They see it that way. They've won it so many times.
Yeah. But, I mean, Liverpool, some of those players, they do have experience of a European final, Europa League, of course, under Klopp a couple of years
ago. And Klopp's record in finals isn't very good, by the way.
Yeah, that is. I don't know what you had. I just do not know how this is going to go.
It's going to be a really chaotic game, and I hope it delivers on that, because this Champions League, the ups and downs of it this season have been absolutely fantastic. Well,
everyone's been saying surely it won't be low scoring, and I'll bet you it flipping
the order. Finals are often underwhelming.
They have to approach it by saying Liverpool, this is, by thinking we got here by doing a certain thing well, and we've got to do that again.
Yeah,
and if we get beaten 5-3, then yeah, it's easy for me to say, obviously, but you'd much rather do that than try and spend the first half containing Real Madrid and playing in a weird way they're not used to. Just stick with what got you there in the first place. Liverpool are 11-10 to lift the Champions League this season. So £10 with Bet365 will return £21, including stake, should they do the business. And that's the best way they can do the business.
Indeed. And let me tell you
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Let me say, though, that Casemiro will definitely be starting that final in Kiev. I was surprised he didn't start at the Bernabeu, and they really missed him. But my goodness, yeah, there's a player. What did you think of Bayern Munich midfielder Arturo Vidal? Unhappy, of course,
I like this.
That Real Madrid knocked
delightfully
out
delightfully petty.
He posted on Instagram after the match an image of Real Madrid celebrating with a caption simply saying, rats.
I love that.
With 9 angry emojis.
Rats is such an emotive insult, isn't it? It's such a funny thing.
You rats.
The best one he did is that Bayern Munich released a poster and it was a spoof of Avengers Infinity War, which I've seen and enjoyed.
Yeah.
And all the Avengers were Bayern Munich players. And Thanos, the bagger, was obviously Cristiano Ronaldo. And Vidal ripped that off.
Not enough of Vidal, that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love this, yeah.
He ripped it off by putting a poop emoji over Ronaldo's face and then Instagramming it.
Yeah. He put a jobby on Ronaldo's face.
Yeah. The game, already been beaten.
No, I think that was before.
Already
the game.
Called them rats.
Oh, I thought it was afterwards.
Yeah, no, I think that was before.
Oh, before
the game.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, the rats was after.
Actually, before the war, it's even better.
Yeah,
before the game, it's better because it's almost like so, like childish.
Yes.
And to think Ronaldo, mind you, Ronaldo might see that and think, actually, that's annoying. Didn't get to him, though, did it?
Well, maybe it did because he didn't score in that game.
Ronaldo gets stronger the more people criticise him, as we know. So
nice to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The defender's just going, I really like what you're doing with your hair at the moment.
Now, in the tunnel, I don't know what we're going to do. He's so good.
Yeah. It would throw him off, maybe. I don't know. But in the good old Premier League, Liverpool have got a tricky fixture. They're away to Chelsea this weekend. Now, it's not all certain that Liverpool will finish in the top four. I mean, of course, if they win the Champions League, as Luke's already said. But how do they approach this one? Chelsea need to win to keep their kind of slim hopes of top four alive. Because of Liverpool's better goal difference, Liverpool really just need a win in their last two games. They're away to Chelsea and then home to Brighton. Hopefully for Brighton's sakes that they won't need anything in that game. But again, the way the season's going, should Southampton and Swansea win, they might do. All ifs and buts, of course. But what do you do if you Klopp? I mean, surely...
It's really hard to know what they want, how they're going to approach it, because clearly, players don't want to get injured ahead of the Champions League final, but at the same time, there is a little bit riding on it.
It is.
And Chelsea are a good team.
And you want momentum going into the final. You don't want to, because if they play...
But you can't really get that anyway, because it's not to the 26th of May.
True, but you wouldn't want to get stuffed at Stamford Bridge.
You never want to get stuffed.
You never want to get stuffed, Jim.
Unless you're a turkey on Christmas Day. You never want to get stuffed.
They don't have a choice.
I mean, perhaps we are maybe being a little cynical in looking at it like this. I mean, ahead of a Champions League final, surely what you want in the league is a stern test, because that is closer to the level that you're gearing up to.
Ooh.
You know, it's much better for them to have Chelsea than it is for West Brom in that sense. They've got to keep that momentum.
No, West Brom got a point.
I was going to say, they're only true.
All right, really bad example. But
respect,
you know,
for big Darren Moore.
Yeah. We're going to see Danny Ings start against Chelsea, do you think?
I would have thought so, yeah.
Solanke?
I think we might see some players that we've never even heard of.
So. Yeah, some sort of Football Manager regen.
I'd put Alexander-Arnold in there and make sure he gets back to stand.
He should actually put Nathaniel Clyne in there.
Yeah.
I mean, Clyne was a substitute right at the end. But Clyne is lacking...
Oh, we should spare a word or two for how good Andrew Roberts was as well.
Yeah. Yes,
and has been all season.
He's so good. Since he came into the team, he's been fantastic.
He's one of those players who benefits from all the talk being about the other players in the side.
Yeah,
which actually he's been brilliant.
Oh man, the way he drives with the ball, like, he had a few what the kids these days call take-ons.
Oh yeah,
which was so enjoyable to watch.
What did you call them?
I don't know. Well, I don't think there was a word for
we
it.
We just called it all football, didn't we?
Yeah, it's just football, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, true enough.
Someone will probably tweet us tomorrow saying how many take-ons per game on average he's got and how much better that is than someone else.
Mm. And how take-ons is now quite an outdated term, yeah, actually.
It's actually expected take-ons. You
It's called muggings off.
Yeah. But yes, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because any other... I mean, I suppose it is a big game anyway. Chelsea massively need to win it. But I have... I'm sure you guys are the same. I have doubts over Chelsea's motivation and their application. And I think it's a dead cert, as everyone's been saying, that Conte's going to be off in the summer. So what that means for this game, I don't know. It's one of those ones that's impossible to predict.
But Chelsea,
I wouldn't be surprised if Chelsea end up winning 2-0 or something.
But they have upped it. They've won the last three, which, you know, is a good little run considering...
But their season's been dogged by inconsistency and in my view, not all the players, but in my view, a decent percentage of the players and a lack of application, a lack of like coherent thinking from the manager and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, his situation has not helped, of course, and how could it help any club if you're not sure if you're going to be there or not? But they're in the cup final.
Yeah,
true. They're still challenging for top four.
So they'll be thinking about that as well. That's a week before the Champions League final.
Yeah, maybe just call it a draw.
Chelsea are 10-1 to finish in the top four this season. £10 with Bet365 will return £110, including stake. A draw does not help Chelsea, Marcus.
No, it certainly.
So don't be so frivolous with that.
No, I wasn't being frivolous.
What have you been?
I was just predicting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A frivolous prediction.
Yeah.
The Manchester United end of season awards happened. And yes. David De Gea won the Players' Player of the Year trophy. He's won it four times in the past five seasons. That tells its own story.
Yeah, well, you know when your particular team or whatever, at the end of the season, the goalkeeper wins the Player of the Season. It's like, that's the kind of season you've had.
Ibrahimovic sent a message on Instagram, I think it was, to the players saying, oh, I'll miss you guys, blah, blah, blah. And he just said, yeah, well done to David De Gea, but the goalkeeper shouldn't be winning that.
No, he shouldn't. I think he's right. Yeah. I think he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's four out of the last 5 years.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I understand David De Gea is an outstanding goalkeeper.
I can remember an occasion, a season in Scotland where it was Rangers. They cleaned up. They might have won a domestic treble, or they won the league and they you know, had a great season and whatnot. And Andy Gorham won the Player of the Season.
Which one?
Come on.
Right.
But I do. So you sometimes.
Last year it was Ander Herrera for United.
Mm. Yeah.
He's the odd one in the 5 years.
And it's the team that's finished second in the league as well. That's what makes it all the more surprising.
This season just doesn't make sense for Manchester United, does it?
And also, I think De Gea, when he won it for the first time in 13-14, in the history of the award, I think for United, it's called the Sir Matt Busby Award, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
And it was first dished out in the late 80s. De Gea was the first goalkeeper to win it. So that tells you everything about what Man United are all about.
Yeah.
And they get four. You wait 30 years for one to come along, and you get 4 in 5 years.
Unless I read this wrong, and forgive me if I have, but Jose Mourinho caused a bit of a shock in the room when he gave Manager's Player of the Year award to Scott McTominay.
This is brilliant.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That is absolutely brilliant that he's done
it's
that.
It's such a merc, isn't it?
It really
it's
is.
Brilliant. I wonder how McTominay feels about all this. Because does he take it at face value, or does he think, I'm being used as a weird example here?
Let's be honest, it's the closest thing Mourinho can do to giving himself the award.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Especially 5 Premier League starts this season.
Yeah. I mean, is that disrespectful to...
Play the total of 640 minutes in all competitions.
I'm sure I've read that right, that he gave him the award.
No, sorry, that's in Premier League and Champions League competitions.
I saw a quote from him about this, saying that he doesn't look at players and, you know, young players and senior players. He just looks at players. And he said, and I love this kid. It's like, well, hang on.
They're all kids to him.
The thing is, that is fine. That's quite a sweet thing to say. And to jump on sort of Mourinho's side of this for a second, I completely understand that comment, because ultimately we'd all like, you know, the media and stuff, we all like to look at players, like young players coming through. I think a lot of fans, well, if not every fan, gets excited about a young player coming through their club's academy, and that's really important for football generally. But if you're the manager, I am sort of at least partly sympathetic to the idea that your job is to win games, and younger players aren't going to be as reliable, and by their very nature, as experienced as senior pros. And Mourinho has long been a manager who likes these properly finished article players who are trustworthy. We've seen what's happened with Luke Shaw this season, for example. So when he sees Scott McTominay, and I think he's spoken similar terms about Marcus Rashford as well, where he sees like an old head on young shoulders, he loves it, and that's what he's all about. And that, you know, that gets him up in the morning, that keeps him ticking along. Good for him. However, there's that. And then there's giving him the manager's player.
Most improved player, fine.
Yeah, well, that's a bit demeaning, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but that's essentially what he's doing. Whereas, I mean, has he really been more important at a better season than Nemanja Matic?
Well, he actually said, didn't he, that he thought about giving it to Matic, but he wanted to.
I mean, Jesse Lingard.
Is he using to play devil's advocate? Is Mourinho, rightly or wrongly, is Mourinho using this as a device to help inspire McTominay's career?
Well, probably.
That's certainly an aspect of it. I think it's also a warning to the other players that they need to step up.
Do you think he
I love how he's just politicised what's supposed to be quite a nice event.
Do you think that he was more or less entertaining as Manchester United manager at the Manchester United end of season awards than Louis van Gaal was?
Never.
That time.
No. Is it a lady with the saxophone? The saxophone, they're never going to beat that.
Give a big applause!
Yeah, before you move on to van Gaal, and I don't want to get in your way. I really don't. Five Premier League starts for McTominay.
Yeah, that is so funny, isn't it? It's like he's only just realised he can use academy players.
Yeah, he got really carried away.
Yeah, well, there we are. But yeah, it is worth remembering.
One of those games, can I just say, of the five Premier League starts, was the one against Crystal Palace the one where he had to come off at half-time because they were 2-0 down?
I can't remember. Won that 3-2. I mean, Matic scored the winner, didn't he? Matic got goal of the season if it's the same Crystal Palace match we're talking about.
Yeah, they were 2-0 down at half-time.
Matic scored the winner.
And then came back 1-3-2.
Yeah, that's right.
No, maybe I'm pretty sure McTominay got dragged in that game.
I can't remember.
So basically, one of the five, and there's only five that he started, 20% of those games, he got the hook at half-time because his team were 2-0 down against Crystal Palace and they ended up winning 3-2. Clarity, hear that? Yeah. That's player of the year material for me.
Unquestionably.
Five Premier League starts.
Unbelievable.
It's only five more than you.
You've got to think about what Romelu Lukaku thinks of
that. Yeah, yeah.
Incredible.
It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. But yes, Louis van Gaal. Well, a little story.
How is he in here, by the way? I'm happy he is, but...
Because Raphael, the former Manchester United defender, told a little story of van Gaal, of how the big Dutchman offloaded him at the club. Raphael apparently was very popular around the club. He said, of van Gaal, he said, in his first season, van Gaal called me into his office and said, "You can leave."
I've just got it. Oh, you mean the club? But
I read about this, and it was as abrupt as that. The meeting was like a minute long.
That's right. Raphael, soon after, he went to Lyon, and 3 days into his time in France, van Gaal texted him simply saying, "You know how football is."
If anything, this is your fault.
Yeah. Hey, mate, wouldn't want you to have any confidence growing at your new club.
I absolutely love him.
So I've got to get rid of you now, because otherwise Mourinho's going to vote you player of the year.
Man, absolutely. Well, they're against Brighton.
The only way Mourinho... I don't care about that. Okay. The only way Mourinho could have bettered that is if he voted it for a player who's on loan somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would have been good.
This 17-year-old kid, he's on loan at Royal Antwerp. He's my man for player of the year.
Well, if he's got three assists this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were very good. But yeah, Man United.
They are playing Brighton. I do care about that.
Brighton, they could confirm their Premier League status for next season if they win. But if they lose and results go against them, and we'll talk more about that kind of conundrum in the second half, they're not safe.
No,
I don't know
really
why you're
not
banging this drum so much, both of you, because I think, as far as I'm concerned, I can't foresee how Brighton get relegated here.
Well, it's just that they could certainly enter squeaky bum time.
Yeah,
with results going against them.
I mean, because they go away
maybe out of their hands.
They go away to Manchester City, don't they? Mm. And
they've got a tough running. But the thing you guys are singularly failing to realise is that Swansea and Southampton play each other, and they both can't win.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So
look, we've got to try and find narrative where we can stop weeing on the narrative.
But they have three games, you know. So if they won, you know, there's 6 points there, and there's Brighton are only 5 points ahead of Southampton and four against
Weirdly,
Swansea.
Man United have lost to Newcastle and Huddersfield away.
What are you laughing?
I'm laughing because I think you've forgotten only three teams can get relegated, and West Brom are already down.
They are.
So what's your point?
Well, I'm just saying that Brighton, they're still a little bit nervy, that's all, potentially.
All right.
If they lose and other results go against them, you know, they'll be all looking right over their shoulder. I take the point. I don't think Brighton are going to go down, but, you know.
Just be a bit more respectful to Chris Hughton and the job he's done there.
I very much hope that they stay there. Anyway, it's time for correspondence with Jim Campbell.
Oh, there's an email about Brighton being relegated.
Nailed on. we've had a few emails about this sort of thing lately, so I'm just going to dive in with one. Morning, gentlemen. Just a quick public service announcement to all Ramble listeners. By far the funniest speed to listen to the Ramble is times 0.8. It really does conjure images of you all in the studio with three bottles of scotch in the centre. That's from Connor D. I don't know why. We're getting a spate of emails about listening to the show at different speeds and how apparently funny it is.
The thing is, I'm torn here because I do appreciate every listener sincerely from the depths of my heart and soul, but on the other hand...
Yeah.
get a hobby. Listen to it properly, and then go and do something else.
I still appreciate them.
Yeah. That's why manager's listener of the year.
You're very salty today.
I've got a bit ill, aren't I?
Salty.
I am salty. I apologise for that. That's what salty. I need to do. Gargle with salt water. I'm losing my voice.
Got one here that might cheer you up, mate. This is from Sam King. Hello, Ramblers. Hope you're well. Enjoying the England moments, particularly the one that led to Luke recounting the time Stuart Pearce failed to score his 100th career goal after missing a penalty in his final ever game as a player.
Against Dave Besson.
For Man City against Portsmouth, no less, in April 2002. This is indeed true, and there is more to the story. The penalty came about after Pearce's teammate, the sublimely talented Algerian playmaker Ali Benabia, was informed before the game that Pearce was looking to secure a century of goals in what was his swan song appearance. As Pearce tells it, Benabia came up to him in the city changing room before kickoff and said, "Stu, you want one more goal? No problem. I'll get it for you." Cue late on in the game, and after City have gone 4-1 up, Benabia gets possession, drives into the Portsmouth area, puts his foot on the ball and intentionally flicks it up so it hits Linford Grimes' hand. And as soon as it does, Benabia picks up the ball, runs over to the penalty spot, puts it down and looks at the referee, Roger Fernandez, who, in a state of understandable confusion, awards City a pen.
Oh my goodness.
It's like a Stephen Gerrard when they used to get a foul and just grab the ball.
Yeah, and
did you say Linford Grimes?
Yes, I did.
Linford Primus. Yeah, Linford Primus, isn't it? Uh-huh.
Benabia then picks the ball up and hands it to Stuart Pearce, who duly balloons a spot kick over Dave Besant's bar, and that's gratitude for you. That's from Sam King.
It's a great email, Sam. So what we're talking about here, Stuart Pearce in his 40th year. I think if he wasn't 40 then, he was certainly close to it. Dave Besant's already told him, if you hit it on target, it's going to go in, I'll let you score, which I don't agree with, and we'll come on to that maybe another time. Benabia's basically bought him a pen.
Yeah.
And he's still not done anything.
No,
with it, exactly.
I think Pearce was maybe aware of it, kept his integrity, and thought, "I'm not scoring this. It's not fair."
I think that's right, and which leads me on to my next point: when has Stuart Pearce ever scored a significant penalty?
You know exactly when. One more from Aaron Brown. Evening, gents. I've come to the realisation as a neutral that I am tired and bored of Everton's existence. It's a bold start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very.
Bold, bold start.
Is this from Sam Allardyce?
They provide so little entertainment currently that I've been forced to mull over some potential controversial options. Option A, a new relegation system in which the most boring top half side, Everton, joins the two worst placed teams in the division in relegation.
Well, some people might say it was Burnley. Who would
Well, yeah, indeed. In this case, Southampton may be spared the season and this season.
I'm for it.
No.
And their survival would give me far more entertainment as it would guarantee another season of Mr. Moore venting all pettiness out on them, something that makes me feel better about my own existence.
By the way, just on that, if they get relegated, it doesn't mean I can't be petty about them. I can be petty about them in the Championship.
Indeed.
They won't cease to exist.
But here, option B first, which is disband the most boring team to finish in the top half of the table, put all the players' names from said team into a hat, and then let them be selected by each team in turn at random. In this scenario, due to the plethora of attacking midfielders Everton have, the redistribution among the bottom half sides would hopefully add to the creativity of sides who really need a player who can pass. Also, I would love to see Rooney end up at Liverpool. I cannot think of a suitable way to redistribute Allardyce other than to give him the US men's national team job. That's from Aaron Brown. So,
Aaron, you've not thought that through, but I do like the way you've ended it with Big Sam becoming Uncle Big Sam.
Yeah, we're all for that.
Yeah, I'm into that. And just one last one. Good morning. Happy Thursday. One of our tenants is looking for a parcel that went missing. I can confirm that is not my bin. That is from Katie.
What's happened with your bin?
The bin saga continues.
Okay.
Soon, I don't have a bin yet.
When's the spin-off This American Life / Serial podcast series about it?
Well, the story hasn't concluded yet. I need to reorder the bin. It's been refunded. So I'll get a new bin at some time. I'll keep you updated. This week I also renewed my TV license, only to discover that because they don't have an address on the system, what I've actually been doing is buying a TV license for the shop that I live above. So,
which is a chip shop. A comet, isn't it?
A chip shop.
A chip shop?
Yeah.
Enough, now I'm interested. Now I'll come over.
Enough about Jim's life. Let's go for a break, and after which we'll be talking about the relegation zone.
And you know, because Pete's away ill, I'm on the buttons, the break we're going to hear is definitely this.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The only thing that they have got is the big boy up front, Sig Thorsson.
Oh, my word.
Oh.
I'll tell you what, in a World Cup year, I know it's the Euros, but in a World Cup year, that for me is exactly what we need.
We heard that probably like last week. It's still great.
Yeah.
The deflation, it's absolutely incredible.
Oh, and no.
You know that in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the doors sigh when they open?
Yeah.
McLaren sounds like that, doesn't he, in that clip?
Here we go again.
The only thing that they have got is the big boy up front, Sig Thorsson.
Oh, my word. My
oh.
That's Loro, isn't it? Loro getting involved.
No, it was
it's
on
Loro
Sky.
In the background.
It was on Sky.
Is it?
Yeah.
It sounds like Loro.
Don't play it again.
Tell me if it sounds like Loro, Jim.
The only thing that they have got is the big boy up front, Sig Thorsson.
Oh, my word.
Oh.
It's exactly like him.
It does sound like him. It's I don't not, think it is him, though, because it was on Sky him. And Laura wouldn't be on Sky.
It can't be on Sky because it's the England-Iceland game, and that's
it
on
Sky. Like he's watching it for people.
Yeah, it was like
why, I don't
Saturday.
Know, because it was on terrestrial TV.
Wow, okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Do you want to go?
No, I don't want any more.
Anyone signing
stop this!
Barry Grintle.
All right, I'm done now.
I never thought I'd say this, but I want Pete back on the buttons.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. Well, we won't have Going for Gold, sadly, because Pete's not here.
Been wrapped up, hasn't it? It's not,
but we can
not
talk
competitive anymore.
No, it's true.
But we can talk about Bournemouth versus Swansea.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Do you think Bournemouth are going to get relegated as well?
Hold on to your hats.
No. No.
Yeah, I think the whole South Coast is going down.
Portsmouth just ahead of the curve, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think Bournemouth are going to go down. But can Carvajal lead his troops to safety? That is the question. If they win, then it'll give them an advantage over Southampton going into the big game between those two, of course, on the 8th of May.
Sorry, can I just quote you from the running order here, mate?
Yep.
Bournemouth aren't safe themselves, so they'll be up for it.
Yeah.
So basically, what he's doing is he's very similar to what he's doing with all the England players. He's trying to relegate every single team.
Well, we need something to talk about. Yeah. So
I'm trying to whip up something.
Service.
Well, it's true.
Can I read something from the running order as well, Marcus?
No. Don't do that.
Are Liverpool mathematically safe?
There we go. Yes, they are. That's why I didn't include it, you knobhead.
To answer your question, Swansea haven't won for quite a long time, like well over a month now. In fact, it might even be 2 months.
They've also never beaten Bournemouth in the Premier League.
Wow, good fact.
Yeah. Well, that's it, Can Carlos lead his troops into battle?
Were they unlucky against Man City?
They weren't.
No.
That was, yeah. But Bournemouth, they're on 38 points and a win seals their safety, of course. But you know what it's like. Managers will always say, until it's mathematically possible, we're still fighting away. And that, you know, if Bournemouth lost that game, you don't want to go into the next game.
Mm.
A little bit jittery, you know. Well, you don't want to have to rely on others' results. You don't. Yeah. Oh, it's brilliant because Swansea buggered up. Therefore, we're safe. You want to go? No, we won the game. We got over 40 points, and you know it's a good season if for a side like Bournemouth if they do. But to broaden this chat a little bit more, Huddersfield Town, they're away to Man City and are far from safe. They're 2 points above the drop zone with a bad goal difference. Will you at least grant me that much?
Yes, I will. Huddersfield are definitely not safe. And I think 2-3 weeks ago, we were talking about it being three from the bottom four. And now that doesn't look like the case. I would say that probably West Ham downwards should be worried.
Yeah.
And I think just because of the volume, because the volume of teams down there beneath Brighton and the fact that the two key ones, Swansea and Southampton, play each other.
Brighton's goal difference is
and Brighton, better. Brighton have got a much better goal difference. It means they're going to be okay. But one of the things I wanted to bring to the table is that these teams, and I probably say this all the time, and forgive me those listening who are bored of me saying this. The context of this is that these teams are down there because they never win. This is the point. You know, for Southampton have been operating at under a point a game for the whole season.
Won their last game, mate.
They did, but they've got three games left. I'm not suggesting they can't turn it around, of course, because as you said, they won their last game. But on average, they are going to pick up another 2 points.
Yeah, but
that's it.
In April's Ramble special, we talked about last day great escapes,
didn't
we? And by the way, if you know, do get involved in the specials, because how would you say we're a little bit more loose?
Yeah, subscribe to Acast Plus. It's only £1.99 a month. You'd be doing a great service to the Ramble, keeping us going and all that kind of stuff. And you also get ad-free rambles. So you still hear the jingles. If you want to hear another one, you still hear this.
The only thing that they have got is the big boy up front.
That's it. That's all they've got. Oh, no, I don't believe it.
So you'll still hear that, but you just won't hear the ads because you've already paid $1.99 a month. And you get a monthly special, of which, as Marcus has correctly said, last month, we talked about great last escapes.
A couple of other things as well. And get your emails in to specials@thefootballramble.com.
Definitely. That's a digression, though.
Yes.
My point being that those teams are down there because they never win. That's my point.
To be fair, I can't really argue with that too much.
No.
However, you know what it's like when you enter kind of this kind of time of the season when Everton, for example, playing against Southampton, they've not got much to play for. I know Allardyce is not the type of manager to take his foot off the gas, perhaps. But Southampton, they are that old cliche, fighting for their Premier League lives. If Southampton win, which they could. Let's be honest, they're away to Everton. They could win that game. It blows it wide open again. We've already said that last week when they won, and it is blown open again. If they do, West Ham United, they're playing away to Leicester. We'll come on to that in a minute. Brighton are not going to win, but we reckon Brighton are safe. Huddersfield are playing against far superior opposition.
A lot of it, just in addition to what I've said, a lot of it's momentum as well. You know, West Brom are obviously probably done dusted now, but they've not lost in their last four.
Exactly.
Stoke are unbeaten in three. Yep. Southampton won their last game. But Swansea, they're in big trouble.
Well,
as are Brighton, to be fair. They've not won for ages.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going down now, are they?
I changed my mind.
Yeah. So it's an intriguing one, Jim.
I fancy Josh King to score in this game. He's got, I think, 3 and 5, and he's a very sort of streaky player, isn't he?
He does seem to pop up.
But when he gets on a streak, he tends to be very, very effective. So I think Swansea are going to have to watch out for him.
Bet365 are currently saying Bournemouth to be relegated is 250 to 1. So £10 will return £2,510, including stakes, should it happen.
Well, yeah.
It's unlikely, that's to be fair, but it's there if you want it.
That's right, yeah. Big odds indeed. West Ham are away to Leicester City, as I say, far from safe themselves. That last minute Andy Carroll equaliser against Stoke is looking more and more precious.
What a goal it was as well.
That is Andy Carroll.
Yeah. For all the wrong reasons.
Yeah,
he's reportedly apologised to David Moyes because he didn't apologise previously or something like that. Yeah, he was sent home from training having refused to apologise for leaving the bench and heading down the tunnel during West Ham's 4-1 defeat by Manchester City.
I'll apologise for not apologising, but not for being a knob in the first place.
Yeah, I think he owes him 2 apologies. So he's, yeah.
Let's assume he's given them.
I was going to say we could tangle ourselves up here. But it's an important one for West Ham. A very important one for West Ham, that. Because, as I say, win for Southampton puts them on 35 points, the same as the Hammers. And the Hammers play Manchester United next. Now, if they go into that game level on points with Southampton, they could find themselves in the relegation zone. So a result against Leicester is crucial. You know, they do not want to go into the final match of the season, as we said before, needing a result against Big Sam Allardyce's Everton, because it's at home as well. And the atmosphere and Big Sam's determination would provide a very difficult afternoon, let's be honest, for the Hammers.
Can you see...
And that could happen. You can see that.
Can you see Big Sam doing that laugh that he did at Chico Flores that time?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, licking his lips all the way.
That's not what West Ham fans want to see.
Could you see him doing the Pardew dance?
What would be the... possibly.
No, he's not really that. Bigger shapes.
Yeah.
Bigger shapes.
What sort of shapes is he throwing?
He wouldn't do the slinky shapes like Pardew. He'd do bigger shapes. Arms wide.
I think a more supervillain style chuckle from Allardyce.
I think
he needs to be dancing on the touchline.
I don't know. Tie around the head, punch in the air.
That's in the clubs in the summer.
Can you see him doing the Dele Alli floss?
I couldn't. I'd see him giving it a little go, just a little wink, like a couple of shuffles.
Do you think if his Everton team beat West Ham to send them down the last stage, do you think he would lord it up?
He would take a hammer to the bubble machine. Smashing it up on the touchline.
I don't think he would lord it up, but we all know deep down.
Would he like blow bubbles in his mouth and just spit them on the floor?
No, his grin would say it all. He'd have a grin. He would respectfully contain his joy, but it would seep out.
Yeah, there'd be a little corner of the mouth grinning away in the post-match interview if that was the case.
So, well, West Ham are 11-5 with Bet365 to beat Leicester this weekend. £10 will return £32, including stake, if Moyes' men do it. Leicester have got nothing to play for. A bit of dissension at Leicester at the moment, the King Power.
That's right.
So it's not completely out of the question. I mean, there's a poor result for them against Crystal Palace, wasn't it?
But I can't stress enough how much West Ham need a result there.
Yeah.
Really can't. So there we are. Right, Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
Our best bet is step forward Nicole McCann. She says, hello. All right, Ramblers. It seems that the female sanitary chat on this week's pod was well-timed, extremely. or extremely well timed, she should have written there, but she hasn't, with Celtic today becoming the first club in the UK to offer fans free sanitary products on match days. It is an extremely under-talked about social issue, which all football clubs should help confront. Given this, I feel it's a perfect week for a woman to take the hot seat.
Damn right.
So you, here you are, Nicole, you're in the hot seat. She said also, it's fair to say that recently Karen Brady and the Rodden sister have given women a bad name in the game.
The Rodden sister.
Yeah. As a result, she said, I want to take the hot seat and restore some pride for women and also end the season on a high for us listeners. I am choosing Bournemouth to beat Swansea at 11-10.
She said it.
On Bet365, giving a return of £105 including stake, a respectful amount for a great cause.
And of course, Bournemouth would ensure their survival.
They would. Mm. Something they're desperate to do. On the Speller Matrix. Yep, £105 including stake is the return if Bournemouth pick up a win against Swansea this Saturday due to the odds of 11-10 with Bet365. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, go to begambleaware.org. What do you think of that one, Marcus and Jim?
I think that's a solid bet, I have to say.
I think old Carlos won't like it.
No, he won't. So. It's funny how with Carvajal, everyone was loving it when he was picking up wins. Oh, he says these mad things and top 10 Carvajal quotes. And now nothing's heard of him, is it? Because they're not winning.
No, but they're 17th, though. And they'd take 17th come when it's all done and dusted.
They certainly would.
Yeah, they certainly would. Right, what has Luke been asking the listeners this week?
This week I just said the following. Number one, team you support. Number two, give them a grade score for the season. Number three, why?
The season hasn't finished. You're doing like end of season awards like the clubs do.
Well, Scott McTominay won this one.
Who supports Scott McTominay? Oh,
So I know it's maybe a week or so early, but I've been ill and I couldn't have any other ideas, so this is how it goes. Stephen Mudge says he supports Chelsea. He gives them 10 out of 10 because they didn't sack the manager and had a season of stability and serenity. It's a new emotionally mature era at Stamford Bridge.
I love that.
What else have I got here? Matt Elms. Spurs, 8 out of 10, played 38 away games and beat Real Madrid this season. Had a trip to Wembley for a cup semi-final, beat Arsenal and Chelsea into the Champions League. It would be a 10, but I took two off for Sissoko. And I'll finish with this one from Craig Lee. He says, I support Sunderland. I give us a U, which for those listening overseas is what you get if you fail your GCSEs. And he says, Jack Rodwell being paid £75,000 a week to hang out at the Metro Centre while we're getting battered on match days. Jason Steele, Robert Reuter and Lee Camp making about five saves between them all season. And the cherry on top of the absolute mess has been filmed as part of a documentary that will be available on Netflix this summer.
Fantastic.
Oh, will you watch it? For
that. Damn right I will.
Would it be better than being Liverpool?
It will be better than the Juventus one. I hope the voiceover guy for the Juventus one does the Sunderland
one. Who is
it? It's an American chap, but he makes it out like when they beat Benevento 2-1 at home, it's like that they've just come back and won the Champions League final after being 2-0 down.
Did you enjoy the Juventus one?
Not really, because of the guy doing the voice, but if he does the Sunderland one, that would be class.
They'd have to get a Mackham doing the Sunderland one, wouldn't they?
Yeah, true. Chris Coleman, have you seen him? He's not got any work.
That's harsh. Do you want to come back and narrate a documentary about the poor job you did, which cost you your job?
Do you want to come and explain what you've done?
Yeah. Even though, in those circumstances, no human being on the planet would have been successful.
I'll tell you something.
Do you want to come back and look at what you've done wrong?
There are some managers who you think stay at international level, because that's where you're operating really well there. Semi-final of the Euros with Wales. Then tempted back into club management. Sunderland relegate. I mean,
I wouldn't level too much criticism at Chris Coleman.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like,
you have to wonder what he was thinking when he took the job. Surely,
yeah, that's
was there not any due diligence done?
I've no idea.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I mean, do you think that affects his stock too much, though? Because I think everyone in football is looking at that job and thinking, well, you know, who's gonna solve that mess?
You're right, but it's still not a great look, is it? It's not even though
Show great judgment.
I did an average job despite the ridiculous circumstances. I did a poor job despite the circumstances, which is still going to play badly on you.
Yeah, I did an expected job.
Yeah,
they were expected to go down, and I fulfilled that. There we are. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Brief, sponsored by the Bet365, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure talking to you. My name's been Marcus Speller. He's been Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
He's been Jim Campbell.
See ya.
And we'll see you on Monday for the Football Ramble. Ta-ta. England have responded really, really well. All they've got is the big boy up front. And I said, oh no.
Would you believe it?
Oh, no, Steve.
The only thing that they have got is the big boy up front, Sig Thorsen.
Oh, my word.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.